Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace? Hey there and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh and there's Chuck and there's Jerry. Let's get to it. Why do lawyers wear wigs in Britain? Go.
You know what's funny is when I was researching this, it's really funny to me to look at modern pictures of these, and I don't want to make fun of it, but it is funny in 2019 to look at photos of barristers and judges wearing powdered wigs. Just let me say that out loud.
Before, did you just say that out loud?
Like you see them outside, there's pictures of smoking a cigarette on their smartphone.
Right.
Wearing these wigs.
Right, playing
Pretty
Candy
great.
Crush. Before we get started, though, Chuck, I want to differentiate between a barrister and a solicitor, which I did not know until today, actually.
Oh, yeah?
The difference. Yeah. I thought maybe one was like a defense attorney and one was a prosecutor like we have here in the U.S., that's not the case. A solicitor is like the lawyer that you go meet with outside of court and maybe advises you on family and children matters or bankruptcy or divorce or something like that. And then they might negotiate contracts, that kind of thing. But then when you're in court, you're represented by a barrister, and the barrister works with the solicitor to understand your case, but it's the barrister who's petitioning the court on your behalf. So they're both working like for the people. They're not prosecuting somebody, but that's the difference. One of the other differences, at least one of the most obvious and apparent differences between a barrister and a solicitor, is that you don't see solicitors wearing wigs. You do see barristers wearing wigs.
So that's a short stuff within a short stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between barristers and solicitors, everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's just an SS. It's so short.
So to the wigs, there are a lot of reasons. They're called perukes that over the years, and we'll get to the whole fashion of the wigs in a minute too, but there are several reasons why they wore them to begin with and why they still might wear them in certain cases. One of the main reasons is to give it a more formal proceeding, a more solemn proceeding. Another big reason is it's a safeguard, almost like, and I've seen the word disguise used. It's a very bad disguise because it's just the wig.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't noticed that.
But in criminal court, it supposedly lends to anonymity, these robes and wigs. So where if this criminal sees their attorney on the street 6 months later, they might be like, I don't even recognize the guy. He looks familiar, but if only he had a powdered wig on, right. I might be able to knife him in the tube.
Can't quite place him.
So that is sort of what they represent. And they have been a part of the court system over there, not forever, but since what year?
Since 1685, at least.
Yeah, previous to that, they didn't use these wigs, which is interesting.
It is interesting because at the time, wigs were already all the rage in Europe and had been for a few years. But I guess the court system was like, no, we're going to not take part in this ridiculous fashion trend. And I guess just portraits from the early 1680s even just showed like people without wigs on. And then all of a sudden, bam, wigs start showing up in the portraits, and they've been there ever since, even long after wigs fell out of fashion. I mean, wigs were only fashionable for, well, less than 100 years. Well, actually, far less than 100 years. No, about 100 years, let's say. and then they were gone, and the British court system, wherever it popped up around the world, hung on to these wigs for another like 200, 300 years.
Yeah, and they're, you know, as far as the wigs themselves, you can get a little bit of variety, but it's not like you can walk in there with your rainbow afro wig.
John 3:16.
They're generally similar. Barristers have, it's a little frizzed at the top. They have the horizontal curls on the side and the back. And then the very, very back, the mullet section, you have these two long strips below the hairline with a little looped curl. The judges themselves have the much more ornate wigs that's more full.
Very long.
Yeah, super long. These are the ones, you know, that's how you can tell the difference. When you see the dude with the big, huge, full, long wig, that's a judge. When you see the little one sitting on top, standing outside the courthouse with your smartphone and your cigarette, that's a barrister.
And the judge's wig looks very, very much like a 70s rocker hairdo, if you step back and look at it.
Yeah.
Like, really.
I'm trying to think of who.
Like, maybe like a tour manager for Led Zeppelin or something like that.
All right, maybe. Although he famously did not have long hair, but sure.
Who, Phil Graham?
He was bald on top. Was that his name?
He was the promoter.
Oh, okay.
Phil Graham was.
All right,
Man, he used to stick people up. He would say, if you don't give us an extra $100,000, my boys aren't going on stage like 5 minutes before they were supposed to go on stage.
He was pretty legendary.
Piece of work.
So as far as the wigs, though, they're expensive. Judges can throw down about $3,000 on a wig. Mm-hmm. The barristers may spend anywhere from $500 to $1,000.
These are dollars, not pounds.
Yeah, yeah. And they're made of horsehair. Traditionally have always been made of horsehair if you can afford it, just because of tradition. It's not like horsehair is some super valuable thing, but some have been made through other things like goat's hair or just cotton or maybe a dead human.
Or even a live human.
Sure.
At the time, back in the day, humans would donate their long white hair, kind of like locks of love, but rather than, you know, for people who have survived cancer, it's for the courts.
Locks of law.
And rather than for love, it's for money. So it doesn't really bear that much of a resemblance, although hair was involved. But the horse hair, it's like you said, it's not prize. It's just tradition. That's what they were made out of originally, and that's what they continue to be made out of. But that's not to say they're just like thrown together. These are remarkably well-made. Or they're supposed to be. For a very long time, they were very well-made, artisan-crafted wigs.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the history of these wigs and why on earth they're still wearing them right after this. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
Stuff you should know.
Stuff you should know. All right, so the history of wigs here, it may surprise you to know that a big reason these wigs started to be worn is because syphilis was rampant.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody had syphilis.
Yeah.
And one of the things that can happen when you have syphilis, aside from blindness and rashes and dementia and open sores, is you can lose your hair. So what it maybe unfairly, because male pattern baldness is a thing anyway, if you lost your hair and you were a prominent person, a lot of people probably looked at you and said, oh, well, he got syphilis.
Yeah, plus at the time, long hair on men was very much in fashion.
Sure.
And that does not go well with syphilis if you're balding. No. So wigs came into play, and they might not have come into play as strongly as they did had it not been for Louis XIV, the King of France, the Sun King, who they believe had syphilis.
Uh-huh.
And he started wearing wigs himself. He reigned from 1643 to 1715, and he was a huge trendsetter. So when he started wearing these powdered wigs, everybody started wearing powdered wigs, and not just in France, and not just among his court, but in courts and the aristocracy and the upper classes of all of Europe, including in England, which was reigned by Charles II at the time, who was the cousin of Louis XIV.
And also maybe had syphilis.
Yeah, syphilis everywhere. You get syphilis. You get syphilis. You get syphilis.
And like you said, it spread through all of aristocracy. Finally, it fell out of fashion over time. That, like you said, didn't—
Syphilis?
Well, yeah. Didn't take that long for the wigs to fall out of fashion. Would you say less than 100 years?
Yeah, by the time King George III, who was presiding over England during the American Revolution, when he was in charge, it was really just basically coachmen, bishops, and I believe the court. And in the 1830s, the church, or the Anglican church, said bishops don't need to wear those anymore. I don't know when coachmen stopped wearing them, but then—
They're probably we're with the bishops.
Right. Then the courts were, they just kept it up from that point on.
Yeah, so finally in 2007, there was a court challenge, an actual suit brought forward to say, can we not wear these wigs anymore? And there was a ruling that said that technically did away with barrister wigs, but not entirely, because that was only in civil court or appearing before the Supreme Court. Right. But in criminal cases, they were like, keep those wigs on, everybody.
And I believe they still do, right?
Yeah, that's what I couldn't quite figure out. Like I read, in this article, it says until 2011 when the practice was discontinued.
Well, that was with judges.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes more sense now.
Barristers in 2007, judges in 2011. But I believe that in criminal cases, both barristers and judges are still required to wear wigs, or else it's a real affront to the decorum of the court.
Yeah, like I was reading articles from last year that talked about the fact that they were still trying to get it not mandatory for criminal cases, but I think they are still wearing them.
And it had a sweeping effect. Like everyone around the world that had that worked in the legal system of a country that was a former British colony, whether in Africa, whether Australia, whether Canada, were just waiting. Actually, I think Canada did away with them before, but it's like they were just waiting to pull these wigs off. Jamaica got rid of theirs in 2013. Australia got rid of theirs finally in 2010. So whatever lawsuit that was in 2007, that had literally global effects.
Yeah, I mean, one of the articles I read talked about in England, the heat. They're like in the summertime.
My God, the heat.
Yeah, in the summertime, these robes and these wigs, they were like, it's just like, it's a problem. And they should just file a petition or whatever that just says, to whom it may concern, come on, this is ridiculous. It's 2019. The end.
Right. Yeah.
We look silly.
Yeah. Although in Hong Kong, they are still with it 100% from what I understand.
Yeah.
So if you want to go see your lawyers and your judges wearing traditional wigs, go to Hong Kong. I think that's the upshot of this short stuff.
Yeah, go commit a crime in Hong Kong.
There you go. Thanks a lot for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, shoot us an email, why don't you? Send it off to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.